things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah! That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
Yeah, it was the first Thanksgiving at my house.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, it was fun. We were missing 3 adults and 2 children.
Okay.
So, while that did not, like, make a huge dent in the amount of food that I had prepared, I would have loved for there to be more mouths to feed, because at the end, we were just, like, staring at my kitchen being like, oh, no. There's so much food here.
So I, because my sister is a genius.
Yeah.
Have discovered the absolute number one best use of Thanksgiving leftovers.
What's that?
Thanksgiving egg rolls.
Oh.
Chop up the turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes, okay. Throw some whatever you want. We dice some like celery and carrots to give it like a little bit of crunch.
Yeah.
Tossed it in there, wrapped them in egg rolls, air fried them.
Ooh.
And then we dipped them in cranberry.
Oh.
As like it was, or if you don't like cranberry, so
gravy.
Okay. Gravy, yes. Was also on the table. Was also on the table. I like the cranberry. I like the sweet tart with the savory.
Yeah.
So, but they were so easy.
That's nice.
So good.
I watched a TikTok about how to send people with leftovers. And if you use the like aluminum muffin trays.
Yeah.
You can put like 6 servings of things in the muffin trays.
Genius.
So that everything is like separated, but everybody gets a little bit to take with them.
Oh, I love that.
And I didn't see it until after Thanksgiving.
Of course.
Of course. But I was like, next year.
For sure.
That's what I'm going to be doing.
That's what we're going to have to do.
Yep. So how was your Thanksgiving? You went to see your sister, right?
Yeah. It was amazing. She actually, if we just want to go ahead and get like the bright and shinies out of the way.
Yeah.
My sister is my bright and shiny. She just has the best heart, the best family. Get to spend time with the little ones who are like not little at all anymore. Me and my nephew and Ian went to the Mall of America on Black Friday.
Oh my God. That sounds like chaos.
You know what? It was not bad.
Okay.
It was not bad at all. Because it's so huge.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you could have 10 million people in there and it would like still be fine.
Sure.
But it was good. It wasn't bad. There weren't like crazy lines or anything, but it was a fun experience. So.
That sounds fun.
Minnesota is beautiful.
I've never been to Minnesota.
It was my first time as well.
Okay.
So cool. It was really nice.
Well, today's grab bag day.
Today is a grab bag day.
So welcome to December.
Hi.
And happy birthday, Claire Bear.
Happy birthday, Claire Bear. We
love
you.
This comes out on her 20th birthday.
And, you know, happy birthday to all the other Sagittarius.
Yeah.
Friends
welcome
that we have.
Welcome to the season.
Welcome to the season. Capricorn is coming right around the corner. You got to watch out for the December Capricorns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's the January. The January caps.
I like it.
Are the good ones.
I like a December Capricorn.
Do you?
Yeah.
They're a little too, for me, because, you know, I'm a Scorpio with big feelings about everything. They're a little too analytical and non-emotional for my taste.
See, both of the December Capricorns that I know are some of the most emotional people that I know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I do not know them.
Yep.
I don't know them.
That's
those are not the December Caps that I know.
I don't think I know any January Capricorns.
I know one January Capricorn. And they're like the perfect balance of like, they can relate to my emotions, but is very like gentle.
Interesting. Okay.
In their analytics of me.
Got it. Okay.
So.
You just don't like to be analyzed.
You know what? I don't mind being analyzed as long as it's with the knowledge that, like, you know, I'm just an emotional being.
Sure.
I just got a lot of emotion stuffed in here in a regular sized body.
Yeah. Got a lot to process. We got a lot to go through.
We got a lot going on. at any given point. But yeah, happy grab bag day.
Yay. Are you going first or do you want me to go first?
Oh, do you want to rock, paper, scissors for it?
I would love to. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. I win. All right. So the first story I have for you today, this actually took place on July 5th, 2021. And I have a news article by Barry Winokur of CNBC about a death at an amusement park.
Ooh,
this
okay.
past summer. And one of the best things, not the best, that's not what I meant. One of the most interesting things about this, I guess, is that the week that this happened, I was planning on going to this amusement park because it is right by one of my company's neighborhoods.
Okay.
In the old Iowa. Authorities are investigating the cause of an accident that killed a boy on a popular boat ride at an Iowa amusement park, the second deadly incident on the ride in 5 years.
Yikes.
The accident happened Saturday night on the Raging River at Adventureland Park in Altoona, Iowa, when a boat carrying 6 people flipped over. Michael Jaramillo, 11, died Sunday from his injuries, and another minor remains hospitalized in critical condition. The Altoona Police Department said Monday, 2 other riders suffered minor injuries. Our thoughts and prayers are with the Jaramillo family as they navigate the heartbreaking loss of their child, said the police spokeswoman Alyssa Wilson, adding that the investigators weren't sure where the family resides. The ride uses a conveyor belt to move rafts through Faux River Rapids. After the boat overturned, emergency responders and witnesses helped to free the riders, and 4 were taken to a hospital for treatment, Wilson said. 4 off-duty Altoona officers and fire medics who were working at the park quickly responded, she said. Detectives are working with Adventureland and state inspectors to understand this tragic accident. Adventureland, which is privately owned, said the ride had been closed, or the ride has been closed, and that the company is cooperating with investigators. Attorney Guy Cook, who represents Adventureland in personal injury cases and is assisting with the park's response, said that the inquiry would be comprehensive.
Ooh.
Yeah. Safety is the number one priority at Adventureland, Cook wrote in a text message. The Raging River ride has been in operation for nearly 4 decades, and it is a safe ride. The ride opened for the first time during the 2021 season after a state inspection Friday found it was in sound working order, Adventureland said. Altoona is a city of 20,000 people just east of Des Moines. The park, whose roller coasters can be seen from the Interstate 80, expects around 600,000 visitors this year.
Wow.
The Iowa Division of Labor is responsible for conducting safety inspections of amusement rides at least once a year, and Cook said that the agency is leading the investigation. Division officials haven't returned messages seeking comment. The Raging River has been a staple of the park since 1983, when the then Governor Terry Branson took one of the inaugural rides. Adventureland advertises the ride as a great way to cool off with the whole family, warning that it might leave participants soaked.
Or dead.
But the ride has been the site of 2 tragic accidents in recent years. In June 2016, a seasonal employee, Steve Boer, 68, and another worker helping riders in and out of the boats were jerked off their feet when the ride began moving unexpectedly. Boer fell into the conveyor belt about 3 feet below and became wedged between the boat and the concrete sidewall, where his head was repeatedly rammed until the ride's operator shut it down.
Yikes!
Yup. Boer died days later. An autopsy found that the cause of death was trauma to the skull. The Iowa Occupational Safety and Health Administration fined Adventureland $4,500 for a safety violation, stating that the park should install devices that ensure the ride assistants are positioned safely before operators let boats advance.
That did not seem like enough of a fine.
$4,500?
I feel like it should be a little more intense than that.
Yeah, somebody died.
Right.
Like, I could see that being like, I fell and hit my head. That's fell and hit my head money.
Yes, not
death.
Loss of life money.
No. The park's insurer last December also settled a wrongful death lawsuit brought by Boer's wife of 47 years and their adult children for an undisclosed sum. Mm. The lawsuit alleged that the ride operator was negligent by prematurely starting the ride in violation of park rules and leaving it in operation even as Boer was down with injuries and the patrons yelled at him to stop.
Wow.
Cook said that there was no commonality between the two accidents, but that he could not comment on Saturday's accident until the investigation was complete. Court records show that Adventureland has been sued in recent years by people who were seriously injured on other rides, including water slides.
Ooh.
Iowa OSHA records show that the agency most recently fined Adventureland in 2018 after an employee working on a roller coaster was knocked off a transformer and fell to the ground when he was struck by a test ride.
Ooh.
The employee was hospitalized with a broken arm. Adventureland settled safety violations by agreeing to pay $14,500 in 2019.
Okay.
But basically the ride, the like raft, you know, that you all like sit in a circle and stare at each other and go down the rapids or whatever, the whole thing tipped over and the seatbelts kept them from
being able to get out.
Getting out.
Ooh.
So in the all six people in the ride were family. So like mom and dad were like trying to get out of their seatbelts and couldn't. And one of the boys died.
That is so horrible.
So horrible. I was literally on my way to Iowa when that happened.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry for that family. That I know is terrible.
So that is a death at Adventureland.
Ooh, God. That sounds like a terrible memoir.
Yes.
Okay, this is an article from NPR. Three people are dead and hundreds are injured after inclement weather roused hordes of venomous scorpions out of their hiding places into streets and homes.
What?
Vicious rain, dust storms, and snow in the southern city of Aswan last week drove out scorpions as well as snakes. Al Haram, a government-run Egyptian newspaper, reported. Three people have died from scorpion stings and 450 people have been injured by the stings thus far.
What?
BBC News reports, citing an unnamed health official. Those who have been injured are being treated with antivenom in hospitals, as well as in medical centers that are located in more remote areas, according to Al Ahram. Health officials have even called in doctors who are on vacation to help treat the influx of patients.
Wow.
In the meantime, residents are being asked to stay inside their homes. Ashraf Atia Aswan, governor, also limited traffic for a time, closing local highways to prevent accidents due to limited mobility in the rain. Scorpion stings can be lethal. The Egyptian fat-tailed scorpion, a species found throughout northern Africa.
Don't like it.
Don't like it. In particular, has been described as one of the most deadly in the world, according to the St. Louis Zoo. And that is ongoing.
That's such a nightmare.
I
don't even let myself think about how much I hate scorpions.
I've never seen one. I think they're pretty cool.
Want to. They don't make any sense to me. They're like a platypus. Like, what happened?
Spare parts animals.
Yeah, they
remind me of shrimp of land. Shrimp of the land.
Spicy shrimp of the land.
Spicy shrimp of the land. But people eat them. Apparently, they're delicious.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's foul.
Really?
Yeah.
I can get behind it, but it's only because, like, the same kind of bugs but in water are delicious. So, like, shrimp, lobster, crawdaddies are delicious. And I just imagine, like, a scorpion is the same thing, but dry. I would eat a scorpion. Probably not this one. Not this guy.
Kill you kind.
Not the Egyptian fat-tailed scorpion, but, like, another, like, little... I just feel like a little crunchy snack. Like, you could do, like, cheddar scorpions or...
chocolate dipped.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I bet that'd be good. Like the chocolate dipped potato chips. I bet that's exactly what they taste like.
Probably.
If you've eaten a scorpion, let us know.
Tonight at dinner, we went out for my sister-in-law's birthday, and she ordered calamari as an appetizer.
Yum.
It was not just calamari, though. It was, like, fried banana peppers. They did fried lemon wedges.
Yum.
But then there were other things in there, too, and very quickly we realized that they were actual whole baby octopus in there.
Oh yeah, with like the little leggies.
Yeah.
Yum. Where'd you guys go?
Giordano's.
Ooh, yum.
Pizza, excellent. Calamari, no thanks.
You're not much of a seafood gal.
No, if it swims, I really am not gonna eat it.
I just really am not gonna eat that.
I'm not gonna do it.
That's fair.
For a girl who worked at a fish restaurant for 7 years, I have very interesting opinions on fish.
I like food that comes from the sea because I feel like it lives in salt water. It's like pre-seasoned.
That's fair. Okay, it's my turn, right?
Yeah.
Sorry. I have a small unsolved mystery for you.
Ooh, fun. Okay.
So this is from unsolvedmysteries.com. And this is the Tatum family ghost.
Ooh, okay.
In a quiet suburb near Atlanta, Georgia, Jim and Kay Tatum built a new home with plans to retire. But in January of 1986, 5 months after they moved in, the Tatums began to experience a series of incidents that would ultimately force them to put their house up for sale.
Ooh, that's a serious haunting.
For something that's brand fucking new?
Yeah. Ugh. Something's tied to the land.
Don't like it.
Nay.
One night, Kay Tatum couldn't sleep. She sensed a strange presence in the hall outside her bedroom, and when she got up to investigate, Kay caught a glimpse of a man walking past her open door. It was definitely a man, and he was swinging his arms lightly, and his head was slightly bent as he walked briskly past me. At first, I thought it was my husband, and I went into the bedroom where my husband was in the bed, so I thought we had a burglar. And then Jim searched the house. There was no evidence of any entry or anyone having been in the house, so I thought perhaps Kay had just been using an overactive imagination. Silly women.
Nah. So goofy and irrational.
I know. Shortly after the incident, Kay began to suspect that it may not have been an actual living person at all. I had fear, and I was perplexed about what had happened, and while I was tossing and turning, I suddenly remembered that I didn't hear any sound as he passed me, and I am still unable to figure out why it happened.
Ooh.
2 months passed without further incident. Then one night in March, Jim was working upstairs on the house. He stopped when Kay called him down to dinner and, as usual, made sure to unplug his drill. As the evening wore on, Jim decided to watch a movie while Kay was upstairs reading. 1 hour later, Kay heard a sound of the drill outside her room. She assumed Jim was teasing her about having seen a ghost, but before long, she felt the joke had gone on long enough. But when she got to the hallway, it was empty, and the drill was unplugged.
What?
Kay Tatum said, I was really frightened, and I reached down and felt on it, and it was ice cold. It had not been turned on.
Ew.
Now Jim, too, started to believe something strange might be occurring. I was very confused, too. I knew very well that something was happening because Kay is very level-headed. She was truly frightened.
Hmm.
The strange events continued. One night, Kay heard the sound of coins falling into a bowl, but she was alone in the room. Another time, while cooking, Kay felt two sharp tugs on her blouse. After that incident, I decided we had a problem in this house. There was something going on, and it wasn't something that we could understand or explain, but there was something definitely going on. There was a small white porcelain bell in the shape of a child angel sitting on the wood table.
Creepy.
Yep. And then the bell started ringing.
Ah, that's worse.
On its own. The occurrences all seemed to center around Kay. Terrified by what was happening in their house, Jim and Kay turned to an expert for help, parapsychologist William Roll. The question comes up, why is this family having these experiences? Is there some sort of ghost that has come back to haunt them for some unknown reason? What's taking place? A lot of people have these experiences, and it's part of who we are as humans to have these so-called psychic experiences. Dr. Roll believes that memories can actually be transferred to physical objects. These residual memories can't be triggered by ordinary people.
Interesting.
It wasn't long before Jim finally had his first strange experience. It started with a small bell. An early riser, Jim always got up hours before Kay. When Kay woke up, she would ring the bell if she needed anything upstairs. One day, Jim heard what he assumed was Kay ringing the bell. I'd grown used to climbing the stairs after hearing the bell, and so I did, but it wasn't Kay. She was asleep. So I went in and looked at the bell, and it was there. Obviously, I had heard something else other than the bell. After the third time this happened, the Tatums decided to make up a code in order to outwit the entity.
Okay. I like their tenacity.
Yes. Kay would ring the bell 3 times if she wanted Jim to come upstairs. One morning, Jim heard the call. It rang 3 times, so I knew that this was Kay because it was our signal. But Kay was sound asleep, and the bell was in the other bedroom where it always stays. I went in and looked at it. I turned around and walked out the door, and that thing rang again. So I began to see how Kay felt. I was frightened. My hair stood up on my neck. I told Kay then, no more bell. I'm not going to answer that bell anymore. And it has not rung since.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
William Roll is no stranger to these types of incidences. There are a number of haunting cases that are not very striking, not very strong, but where the phenomenon is nevertheless quite disturbing to the family.
Sure.
It might be a bell ringing, a fleeting glimpse of an apparition. The events are trivial, but they are deeply upsetting to the family because they don't fit into the picture that most of us have of this world. And that image of the physical world, particularly of our home, is intricately related to who we picture ourselves as being. In the end, things got so bad, the Tatums move out of their house and put it up for sale.
It's poor Tatums.
The end.
Jeez, okay. An abrupt ending.
Yep.
Wow.
They just never figured it out. They were just like, this is just going to keep happening.
We got to go.
Got to just go.
I'm not answering that damn dang old dinging bell.
Heckin' thing.
I have a scary spaghetti for you.
Ooh, creepy.
Super creepy. This is a good one. And normally I'm not into like the zombie trope.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
But this one's a little different.
All right.
So it's been 2 weeks since this whole thing started. It all started with the tanker accident. It was all over the news. Everyone thought it was just another oil spill. There were plenty of volunteers, plenty of people wanting to help the poor defenseless animals. Plenty of victims. Within hours of the tanker accident, it started happening. The animals had gone crazy. They were scratching and biting the cleanup volunteers, and they said that it was an adverse effect to whatever was in the tanker.
Hmm.
Rescue workers were still trying to get the crew out of the ship. They could hear screaming inside. Screams to open the doors, but that's when it all went to hell, as soon as they cut the door out. There were 6 minutes of broadcast before it went silent. 6 minutes of screaming and agony. The ship crew attacked the rescue workers like rabid baboons, breaking bones and tearing flesh. The people on the shore didn't fare any better. Those that had been attacked by animals were attacking everyone else, and it was worse than any war zone report. It was sheer brutality, and yet the broadcast still went on for 6 minutes. 6 minutes, and then blank faces. Nobody could explain what was happening. They tried to continue with regular news, the economy, the weather, a cute human interest story, but they couldn't make us unsee what we saw. I try to continue with my regular existence, but every time I switched on the news or walked by a newsstand, it was there, this big mystery. They had some explanations, some kind of infection, brain parasites, but it doesn't matter. It wasn't an infection we were afraid of. It was them.
Yikes.
4 days after the initial report, a state of emergency was raised, and yet we'd all seen this before. Every zombie movie ever. People didn't know who to trust. People were stockpiling food and weapons, and some tried to flee, but it seems every zombie movie was right. They didn't make it.
Yeah!
3 days later, they arrived in my town. I expected moans and shuffling corpses and dismemberment, but that's where the movies lied. They ran through the streets, screaming, and I remember running to my front door as fast as I could, locking, barricading, doing anything to make sure it would stay shut. And then I headed for the window. I was on the second story and I could see the carnage. They were unstoppable and they were aware.
I don't like it when they're aware.
No, I don't like it when they're aware either.
No.
A group of them made their way through a building across the street. They jumped straight through plate glass windows. Even the shard slicing through them made no difference. They just kept coming. My barricade wasn't going to hold. I rushed around my flat, grabbing supplies and jamming them into the most secure room of the flat. I went back for one last look across the street, and I wish I hadn't. In a second-story window, my face met one of theirs. They knew where I was. I quickly dashed into the room and locked the door. I don't have any kind of panic room or secure basement, so the safest place I could think of was my bathroom. No windows, one door with a lock. I'd filled my sink and bathtub full of water so I could stay for a while. So I sat there in the dark room with the distant screams in my ears. I began to feel like I may have overreacted. It had been 2 hours and no sign of them. It actually got quieter and I thought that they had moved on. Maybe I could leave the room and get to the kitchen and grab more food to wait it out. Then a crash came through the front door. The sound of someone running full force into the door and knocking down the barrier behind it. There were a couple more crashes before I knew they were inside. Rapid footsteps moving around the flat. A couple screams and then a bang on the wall behind me. My eyes were open to their widest, even in the pitch black darkness of the room. Another bang, and then another. They knew I was there, and they knew I was scared. This was the zombie nightmare I had been expecting from the start. I had nowhere to run. There was only so much time before they would break in, and I sat with my back to the door, hoping my extra weight would make it harder for them to get in. And then it got worse. "Why don't you open the door?" a voice on the opposite side asked.
"I'm sorry. Uh-uh. I don't like it when they talk."
No screams or moans, just a quiet, whispery voice.
Nope.
And then more of them. "We've come for you." "You'll be happier if you open the door."
"Oh,
okay. It's not so bad." The whispery voices became a cacophony of noise trying to persuade me, to break me, to fool me. I had heard the moaning of zombies would drive people insane, but this was worse, a siren call. I sat in the darkness and hoped and prayed they'd get bored, but they don't get bored. And they don't leave. I managed to use the mirror to peek under the door, only to be greeted by horrible, unblinking eyes, blood-smeared faces, screams, and more horrible whispers. That was 2 days ago. I don't know what to do anymore. Maybe it won't be so bad. It's credited to Chris Stewart.
Spooky.
I know, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
It's a good one.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
I don't think I like it when they talk.
Oh, no, I certainly don't like it when they talk.
The growling and the, like, the animalisticness of the zombies is what I'm in for.
Fine. Yeah. That's fine. I don't like the coherent thought during carnage.
Oh, my God. All right, so this one's a little bit different.
Okay.
We've never done one like this. I'm going to leave you with a funny obituary.
Okay. Love that. Very cool.
Okay. So this obituary of William Ziegler was written by his children after he passed in 2016. And I want nothing more in my life than for my obituary to sound like this.
Okay.
Okay. William Ziegler escaped this mortal realm on Friday.
Okay.
On Friday, July 29th, 2016, at age 69. We think he did it on purpose to avoid having to make a decision in this pending upcoming presidential election. He leaves behind 4 children, 5 grandchildren, and the potted meat industry, for which he was the unofficial spokesman until dietary restrictions forced him to eat real food. William volunteered for service in the United States Navy at the ripe old age of 17 and immediately realized he did not much enjoy being bossed around. He only stuck it out for a year. Before his discharge, however, the government exchanged numerous ribbons and medals for various honorable acts.
Aww.
Upon his return to the city of New Orleans in 1971, thinking it's best to keep an eye on him, the government officials hired William as a fireman. After 25 years, he suddenly realized that running away from burning buildings made more sense than running toward them.
Sure.
He promptly retired. Looking back, William stated that there was no better group of morons and mental patients than those that he had the privilege of serving with, except Bob. He never liked you, Bob. Following his wishes, there will not be a service, but well-wishers are encouraged to write a note of farewell on a Schaefer Light beer can and drink it in his honor.
Aww.
He was never one for sentiment or religiosity.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But he wanted you to know that if he owes you a beer and if you can find him in heaven, he'll gladly allow you to buy him another. But he can likely be found forwarding tasteless internet jokes. Check your spam folder. But don't open these at work. Expect to find an alcoholic dog named Judge passed out at his feet. Unlike previous times, this is not a ploy to avoid creditors or old girlfriends. He assures us that he is indeed gone. He will be greatly missed. And that is published in the Times Pecan on August 12th, 2016.
That is so cool. I love that. You know, it's funny that you say avoiding old girlfriends. I had to do a wellness check on a resident once because he was old. He was probably like 86.
He ghosted.
Oh, yeah. Did I tell you this already?
No.
Oh, yes.
But that happens.
He ghosted. So like a girl called
and
was like, "Hey, I haven't heard from him in a really long time. Like, we normally talk like quite a few times every single day and he's ignoring my calls and da 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 da." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, that's like so unlike him." So I called him, didn't answer. The girl who called was not his emergency contact.
Okay.
He had his emergency contact listed as special friend.
Good. Okay.
So I called her and I was like, hey, have you heard from him? We got like a call requesting to do a wellness check. Like, do we have your permission to like go do that? And she's like, oh yeah, I haven't heard from him in a couple days either. Yeah, why don't you go do that?
Oh God.
So I was like, okay, cool. So me and a cop mm-hmm. roll up to his door and TV's blaring. We knock, he answers, and he's like, oh yeah, those are my girlfriends. They got on my nerves. He literally just ignored them.
Listen, I don't blame him, but like,
it is very much something that I would do when I'm 86 years old.
Right. Like, if you're actually in an age bracket where you could have died in your sleep, please don't do that.
No.
Let somebody know that you're alive.
Yes.
You're too old to give a shit anymore. Just tell them you're annoyed.
Right. There's no reason for this.
Right.
Rigmarole.
Oh my God.
Okay. This one is from weatherbug.com.
Oh, fun. Okay.
So, standing at 6,288 feet, New Hampshire's Mount Washington is the highest peak in the northeastern United States. Originally called Agiochocook by Native Americans, this mountain boasts some of the planet's most severe weather.
Really?
Yes. Mount Washington's weather is notoriously extreme. In winter, Mount Washington experiences sub-zero temperatures, hurricane-force winds, snow and ice that essentially turn the peak into an Arctic outpost in the temperate climate zone. In fact, winter conditions at its summit rivals those of Mount Everest.
What?
Uh-huh.
That's wild.
Mount Washington receives very high levels of precipitation, about 97 inches per year on average.
Damn.
A large portion of this falls as snow. Just over 4 feet of snow fell during a 24-hour period in February 1969, setting a world record.
Damn.
Hurricane-force winds occur on average 110 days per year. Mount Washington holds the Northern Hemisphere and Western Hemisphere's records for directly measured surface wind speed, 231 miles per hour. Not surprisingly, the historic original structure at the summit is chained to the mountain to keep it in place during the most extreme conditions. On January 16th, 2004, the summit weather observation registered a temperature of -43.6 with sustained winds of 87.5 miles per hour, resulting in a wind chill value of -102.5 degrees Fahrenheit.
How many?
Negative 102.
Oh, that's really horrible.
It's so bad. During a 71-hour stretch from around 3 p.m. on January 13th to 2 p.m. January 16th, the wind chill on the summit never went above negative 50. The official record high temperature at the summit is 72 degrees. The official record warm daily minimum is 60. So readings of 60 degrees or more at the summit are seen on less than 16 days annually.
Shit.
According to the Mount Washington Observatory, more than 250,000 people visit the summit each summer by car, train, or foot. If you visit, I recommend that you be prepared for some shit.
Hurricane force winds a third of the time is not good odds.
Negative.
Bad.
I'm like, what are you doing up there in New Hampshire?
Jeez.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fun to know, though.
I know. It's a fun little weird tidbit. Fun tidbit.
Wow. All so, right.
What's your bright and shiny? I already gave my bright and shiny. What's your bright and shiny?
My bright and shiny is that for the first time in 13 years, my husband has acquiesced to my request to watch Harry Potter with me.
Wow. That's and, a big move.
Yeah. So we have watched 1 through 4.
Okay.
And he is upset that I'm going to be gone for an entire week and he can't watch the 5th one. So
that's when it gets good too.
Oh, I know. Bum. He's like, Voldemort's back and now I have to wait. So it is bringing me intense amounts of joy. He wanted to talk about it at dinner.
Oh, tonight, sweet honey.
Because his brother-in-law have like both seen all the movies and everything. And they weren't super into the conversation because, you know, like
It's old news.
It's old news.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't give anything away. Like, he doesn't know what happens.
He watched the end, though, right? He watched all of four?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's my boy.
Oh, man. I was like, don't cry. Don't cry. Don't cry about it, Taylor. But it's been very amusing, and that's my bright and shiny.
I love that. Good for Ryan.
Thanks. Well, I'm going to make him do the Pottermore quiz when he's done with all of them and actually get them sorted. He's going to be a Hufflepuff.
I was just going to say, I think he's Hufflepuff. I was trying to think if he'd be a Gryffindor, but no.
Nah.
He's a Hufflepuff.
For sure.
Huffly poof.
Yep. So.
Ian's definitely a Slytherin like me. We attract each other.
Yeah.
Email us your bright and shinies.
Yeah.
Or spooky stories.
If you've got a creepypasta.
A scary spaghetti.
A spooky spaghetti. Let us
a
know.
A riveting
about it.
Ravioli.
Please, we want to know.
I got to know about
so
it.
So bad.
alittlebitgrim@gmail.com, or you can visit our website, alittlebitgrim.com. We have some new merch designs up there. If you haven't checked them out, please go check them out.
Do that. It's not too late to get things for Christmas.
It's not too late. Do your last minute Christmas shopping for your spooky pals. And be kind to yourself
and to others.
Goodbye.